passe un moment impossible. Un artiste super, oh, encore un but sensationnel. That's a brilliant bit of follow-up play by Mahé. Oh my goodness me, what a shot.
Sagolsen. Sagolsen setter det hen. Han setter den. De I semifinale igjen.
So it's finally happened. The coronavirus has won the EHF Champions League. It has taken its final scalp in handball, and it's finally caught up with what seemed to be the natural way that events were going to go. All the sports in the world, basically everything in America. The NHL was the last one to fall. Handball and the EHF competitions has now fallen, and literally in the last half an hour or so before we started recording, the IHF have postponed the Olympic qualification tournaments until June at the very earliest. So as it stands, all major handball competitions have been postponed. Now what are we going to do, Alex?
That is a very good question, Chris. I think the handball world is a little bit optimistic because a lot of the announcements have been just a delay to competitions or a 2 week to 4 week hiatus. Most of the actual leagues are only suspended until the end of March or the start of April. People just hope that things will work out over the next couple of weeks, but I kind of have my doubts about that. And I actually envisage quite a lot of it potentially getting cancelled. So my personal league, the Danish third division, the peaks of the Danish third division, the league has been cancelled and the positions are final. So whoever's top, whoever's last are getting promoted and relegated, even though there's actually some discrepancies in games played, which is quite funny. And that's also something that usually impacts handball because it's not like every team plays every game week quite linearly. There are teams that are game weeks behind, matches behind. So that, I think that's something to look out for as well. But I think the interesting thing about handball is that as of right now, I don't think we have an active case of COVID-19 among the handball community.
Yeah, I think not, at least not reported by media at the moment. And that was the thing that the EHF and the IHF were kind of chancing their arm with a bit. We see in a lot of other sports, the trigger for cancelling major events was an athlete actually getting a case of the virus or somebody in one of the staff. We saw that in the NBA. We've seen it in the Premier League. We saw it in Formula One as well, with the first Grand Prix of the season being cancelled. And besides that, sports were just trying to kind of to hold on as long as possible to continue their events without spectators. But the EHF and I guess the IHF have now followed suit in actually making that decision proactively and making it a decision before somebody has caught the virus, as far as we're aware and concerned at the moment. So pretty good communication from the European Federation over the last week or so. I mean, they've been very active in giving us updates about what they're thinking, also being a bit proactive in giving alternative dates. But yeah, it's really hard to know whether this 1 month ban in the EHF's case or the 2 or 3, 4 week bans in the league's cases is going to be sufficient. And the way things have gone for the last week and how quickly everything has developed around Europe, it's really hard to know where the peak of this pandemic is going to reach and when it's going to pass.
I think another thing to just keep in mind of is the Olympics. So right now, I think the official statement is they're going to hold the Olympics no matter what. And that's what's coming out of Japan at the moment. I think that will probably change in the future. We can speculate, but it would be difficult to see such a huge event happening right now. But that impacts the whole delay of everything. So if the leagues, currently they're kind of suspended for a month, which should provide enough time for things to get finished before the Olympics start, or, you know, if we're talking about the Champions League, you know, every player on these Champions League squads is going to be in the Olympics, or at least each squad is going to be missing their top players. And if this delay feeds into that, even if the Olympics are pushed back, we're just seeing it. I don't think the timeline is enough to keep pushing back these leagues before the next season starts. Like, for example, if, you know, the Bundesliga season starts in August and we could see Sander Sagesen, what, playing in the Final Four for PSG?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? Who's he going to play for? I mean, I saw a few people brought this up on social media. So, you know, the alternative date for the Velux CHF Final Four will be at the end of August. And, you know, the case of PSG and Kiel both reaching it is an interesting one, because what do you do? Like, is the Bundesliga going to start again in August? Is it still going to be this season in August? Who's Sander Sagesen going to play for in this theoretical case? And I think you're right. And the timeline is so tight in handball and in most sports that the way things are being pushed back now, there's barely any time to postpone things as it is, and barely enough time to fit in all the competitions as it is. Are we just going to have to abandon this season at some point?
To be honest, that's the way I see it right now, that there will be a decision made quite soon, unless things clear up in literally the next 2 weeks. I think a delay of over a month will just destroy the league season. Although if things do clear up in the next couple of weeks, this could be beneficial to some teams. For example, Veszprém, with all their injuries. So give them another month and they'll have Kenton Maia back. They'll have Tunnison back. You know, that they'll be ready for a Champions League Final Four in August if that does come around.
Very true. There's a lot of mixed views about these things, and people are, of course, upset. But like, I think we both agree that like it's the wise thing being done at this stage. Just like, although it is not such a bad situation in a lot of places in Europe, better to be safe than sorry in a situation like this, because there are more important things in life. But in the case of the Champions Leagues, both the men and women, I have a alternative suggestion for how it could be played out. And I don't know when it came to me, and I don't know how it came to me, but the Nike advertising campaign from 2002, the secret tournament that was played on a boat, this inspired me to what?
Wait, hold on. What's the secret tournament that was played on a boat?
Do you not remember that? Okay, I'm going to play the opening 15 seconds of it. In 2002, Nike had an advertising campaign, a 3-versus-3 tournament, football tournament, played with all of their top signed athletes, Eric Cantona as a fake referee, and Elvis Presley's A Little Less Conversation as the soundtrack.
Hidden from the world, 24 elite players hold a secret tournament. With 8 teams and only one rule.
They all score wins.
And it was amazing.
Yeah, the Yoga Benito.
Yeah, exactly. That was the campaign. So here's my idea. Once it's all relatively cleared up, we get the remaining 14 teams in the Champions League for men and the remaining 8 teams for women on a ship. No fans, but it is broadcast. It's a 7-day extravaganza of Champions League handball. Monday, you have the last 16 of the men's Champions League. Tuesday, the quarterfinals of the women's Champions League. All one-off games, by the way. Two legs is gone. Wednesday, the quarterfinal of the men's Champions League. Thursday, the semifinals of the women's Champions League. Friday, the semifinals of the men's. Saturday, the women's final. Sunday, the men's final. Broadcast in this March Madness style handball event, which is only available on TV or maybe even subscription, because it sounds so good, on a ship. Everything is well contained. Nobody can get coronavirus, and play it, I don't know, in July or something if there's no Olympics.
I'm all in for that. I will subscribe to the secret tournament immediately if that was available. But I do also see a case where one player has some secret coronavirus and we have another cruise ship situation. The handball Diamond Princess Every top handball player confined in one coronavirus riddled ship.
Sounds like a terrible version of Love Island. It's like, but no, we're going to test all the players before it happens, of course. Nobody with the virus will get on board. The actual news from the federations have come through relatively late. In the end, they've done it proactively in comparison to other sports, which have come with a case of the virus and one of the players or one of the staff. For the last few weeks in other sports, we've seen like athletes basically being treated as like, I don't know, almost like circus acts. Like they're the only people who are supposed to be working in public, even when they're working behind closed doors. And we've still seen that in football for the last few days. We've also seen in the UK where basically they're kind of still ignoring the fact that there is this virus going around, and all events were public until, I guess, this weekend where the Premier League in football has now been suspended. But what do you think about the athletes themselves having to continue to perform up until a few days ago?
I think it's quite an extreme situation that they've been put in, because they're not only just performing, they're also traveling all around. They're constantly in public contact. And yeah, they have been forced into it. There's, I think... there was a football team that was made travel and play behind closed doors in Northern Italy just last week. So this was already when things were quite heated in the Italian case. And this whole promise of closed doors, yeah, you'd be able to play the game with no real issue on the pitch. But you have to go through an airport. You have to probably get on a bus to travel to the stadium. You have to go through security or whatever. There's just contact with an incredible amount of people, and they're just being forced to do that. I think the whole closed doors experiment seemed to not work out for anyone. It seems like a good idea, you know, because you're limiting the fans' interaction. Because that's really the critical point in a game where every fan is jumping up and down, hugging, crying, laughing, sharing bodily fluids after a goal. You want to avoid that, but I think no one had thought of the players. But I think people have realized that, and they've all pretty much skipped past the behind closed doors, I suppose, solution for this type of pandemic, and have gone straight to postpone cancellation. So I think in handball's case, I think it is a very good and pragmatic solution to do this. But it'll be really interesting, I think, when we get to that point in, let's say, start of April, end of March, where the league seasons and the games are, you know, scheduled to resume. And I would say maybe at that stage, the overall, let's say, global pandemic is slowing down, and the league heads have this decision to make. Yes, things are going better, but it's still not perfect. How do we resume? And at this stage, they'll all feel the financial impact of all of this. So that's going to be huge, because it's also at the very peak of most seasons. This is the high revenue period for all of these sports clubs.
That's what I wanted to ask you about next. And the financial side of things is what we were speaking about in the last podcast, when we spoke to Christian Dissinger from Vardar. And we have seen that has been a driving factor in a lot of sports. The fact that, you know, teams need to make money, and you have TV deals as well, and broadcasters have a big part to play. And that's where I think something like the Olympics this summer is going to be a really interesting decision, because there's incredible amounts of money being invested in that. And a lot of big TV networks from around the world have a big say in these sorts of things. But for handball, it's a lot more of it's a more fragile situation. And teams, first of all, playing a few games behind closed doors without the revenue of their, you know, 5,000 to 10,000 fans at games is a big deal. But now, knowing that none of that revenue is going to come in between now and, who knows, potentially September or October, is going to have a huge impact on the teams and a huge burden on a lot of clubs.
I'd be really interested to see how handball player contracts work, how they're structured. So in the NBA, for example, they only get paid to play. So now that there's a hiatus in the NBA, no NBA player is getting paid until they play the next game.
Interesting. And that's part of that. That's part of a like a collective agreement, though, right? Within the organization of the NBA and the teams within it.
Yeah, exactly. And that's how it works in all of American sports. So the players don't get paid in the summer, in off season, so they don't get their monthly check. And there's all these stories of, you know, young players blowing on their money during the season and then coming into June and have to basically pinch their pennies for a couple of months before they play their next game, sitting in their Mercedes and mansions, but can't afford a proper dinner. So that's the makeup of things in the US. And there's also, so there's going to be, I don't think the contracts are the same in Europe and in handball, that players do get paid, but there's also in most contracts around the world, there's a force majeure clause. So basically, force majeure means that it's an incredible situation that limits the contract being fulfilled properly. So there is potential, if this goes on, I think, I don't know exactly how the employment contracts work in handball, but there's a case where the clubs can just say, yeah, this is a force majeure situation. We might not be able to pay you, and we're not going to pay you, and the player can't really do anything about that. So I think that's the crucial part, where clubs, if they have to pay their players, they're going to feel a significant impact, because we saw how much player wages are, that they're kind of the main outgoing or the main cost for most clubs. If they have to pay their players, they're going to feel a big impact. If they don't have to pay their players, then the players are going to feel a big impact. So it's a tough situation. And I really think it is, yeah, I really think that the season will end as it is right now.
Oh, you're so negative, Alex. it's really hard to say. I mean, when we did our last podcast, it was only last week, and you know, we were talking about the last 16 of the men's Champions League as if we were going ahead, and you know how quickly things have changed since then. Obviously, it won't change for the better that quickly, but yeah, we'll see what we'll be able to squeeze out of the rest of this season. And another big question, Alex, is what on earth are we going to talk about? What are we going to pivot to for the next couple of months? I have a suggestion where we have a Cooking with Kulesh mini series. How do you feel about that?
I'm genuinely thinking of starting my own blog anyway, because everyone's sitting at home. Everyone has to cook for themselves now. You know, what a perfect time to get Cooking with Kulesh going. So I don't know if I'll combine it with a handball hour. I'll seek my own audience for that, but let's see how that goes.
Oh, we'll see if we can combine it in some ways, but at least a segment for the next few podcasts. Well, there's been all these things we've talked about wanting to do over the last couple of years, like in the summertime or when there's a down period. So now is a perfect time for us to actually put these things into practice and also see if you, the fans, want to hear us talk about something in particular. Because God knows, there won't be any live sport to report on for quite a while.
I do have another suggestion, which could solve everyone's problems, that we all make a collective decision. So every Handball Hour fan makes a collective decision to pick a Champions League season from the past. What's your favorite Champions League season, Chris?
Oh, wow. From the last few years, like off the top of my head, probably the one where Flensburg won in the end. Oh, so 2014.
That is a really good one. So is there footage from that available? Is that on EHF TV, or does that all get deleted?
Yes, there is footage.
Beautiful.
So what's your idea? Go on, say it again.
So there's footage on EHF TV of every game from that season. So we all take a little trip back memory lane, teleport ourselves into March 13th, 2013. And on a weekly basis, we all take our time to watch a couple of the games, starting with the last 16, as it would be now, the last 16 in 2013, and all the way until the final four, where we'll give our opinions and our analysis of the games. Because all of us remember the big moments, but I'm sure there's quite a few amazing games that we've forgotten about. And we can reminisce and enjoy handball of the past while we dream of handball of the future.
Wow, that is some idea. And I, in particular, cannot wait for the last 16 tie between Gorenje Velenje and PSG. Or Metalurg against Kolding Copenhagen. What a season. All right, so are we committing to 2013-14 now, or are we going to make this a fan thing and then we're going to decide a season together?
I think let's throw it out to the listeners, and we'll decide all together which season that we want to rewatch, and try to make that the thing that gets us through this emergency situation.
I love it. Love the idea. That's a positive note to end on. We're going back in time to a simpler days when handball was coronavirus free and Flensburg could win the Champions League. All right, so that's a great positive note to end it on. Alex Kulesh, thank you very much, and thank you all for listening to the latest Handball Hour. We'll be back with you probably next week in the 2013-14 season or somewhere else. We'll find out.
It's not like we have anything else to be doing, or any of you, so tune back in.
Exactly. It's a lot of self-isolation podcasting to come.